Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 11 of the Plus 3 Podcast of Nerdiness. I'm Evan.
I'm Derek.
And I'm Ryan.
And we are here to talk about all things nerdy. So we have got another good episode coming up today. We have a ton of news. At first, it seemed like it was going to be kind of a slow week, but then within the past couple of days, we've had all kinds of stuff come in. So we're really excited to get to that. And then for our discussion topic today, we're going to talk about, this is another viewer recommendation, so we appreciate that, from our giveaway. And the recommendation was to talk about games that are in like a genre or use a mechanic or something like that that we don't really care for, but then like that we ended up liking. So we're kind of titling this games we didn't think we'd like, but we ended up actually liking quite a bit. So we're excited to get into that one as well. So before we get into that and our updates, the first thing I wanted to talk about today is that we are we have created a Discord server for all of our listeners to join. So if you're not familiar with Discord, it's like a gaming application, or more like an application for gamers to do text chat and voice chat. So it's what we use to do all of our voice chatting when we're playing games, or even right now in the podcast we're using Discord. So it's a really great program. We have a server set up, and we'll have an invite in the description, and it'll have different channels and things like that that you can sort through. So we kind of have a welcome message and everything to, if you're not familiar with it, we'll hopefully be able to work your way through it. But the goal of it is just to kind of be able to communicate with you guys more. We'll be able to just kind of have a little chat going, and we can talk about games that we're playing, or news as it comes out, or if we want to use it to get together and play a game, if you guys as listeners want to get together and kind of form a little gaming group or whatever, that's cool. We're open to whatever. We're just kind of excited to see where it goes. So if you're looking to join, look for the link in the description. Just click and you'll be able to join, and then feel free to use the text and voice channels. So we're excited to bring that to you guys. So let's go ahead and get started with our updates. Ryan, what have you been up to since last time?
I've actually had a few more updates this past or this episode than I have in the past. I have played a few games, the first being Art of Chill with Bob Ross. but it's a lot of fun. I played with my wife, Brianna, and my in-laws. And the point of the game is to move your character across the chill track. So what you paint with, so with different paints that you can combine. And if you build your painting or paint your painting faster than Bob Ross. So part of the dynamic of the game is you're competing, so to speak, and you get bonus points for completing certain parts of the painting faster than Bob. And his character moves across what they call the Bob track as you draw. So you have like an art supplies deck, and then you have a Bob deck. And then at the start of your turn, you roll a die. And if you roll a Bob Ross afro, move Bob across the Bob track and draw one from his card. And so it's really fun. It's a good dynamic, and I had a lot of fun playing this game, and I can't wait to continue playing this and playing this with bros. And I know, Derek, you had said that you have this game. Have you had a chance to play yet?
I haven't. This was the game that I got Sid for Christmas because she wanted to learn and teach. And we just haven't had a lot of time to sit down and play many games. So it's definitely still on our list and on our radar to play. We just haven't gotten to it yet.
Cool. And then also you had mentioned to me, so thank you, this week. Is it Doplet So Clever? Is that how I pronounce that?
Doplet So Clever. So Ganz Schön Clever means that's so clever. And Doplet So Clever means twice as clever.
Okay.
So a little German primer there.
Okay, I thought it was close to that. So it's a roll and write that I don't think is actually out in the physical copy in the United States yet. But they have, and I think in the App Store and the Google Play Store, they have a digital version. And so I got that this week, and I've been hooked again already, and I like it a lot more than the first. There's a lot more strategy to it. The dice can do a few different things, and there's a silver or gray category that's kind of a wild. Like if you select that die first, all of the die preceding it also get filled in on your track if they haven't done so. There's a lot to it. I have yet to break 200 more than once, and I think I've seen high scores on the app that are upwards of 400. So I mean, there's some people that have really figured it out already. But it's a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying it. So I'm definitely going to get my $3 worth out of this again.
I feel like you already have. My God, stop all weekend.
Yeah, I have. In the meantime, when someone else is doing an update, I'll just check and see how many games I've played already, and I'll report back.
Yeah, you're going to be playing another game while we're doing our updates.
I would never. I would never do such a thing. How dare you? The other thing I've done, I guess two things. I've started the Magician's Trilogy, and I mean, I'm only two chapters in, but I can say that I've started it, so that is a fact. I'm excited. It seems fun, so we'll see where that goes. I know Derek really likes it, and I've mentioned it several times that Derek likes it, so I won't beat that dead horse anymore. And then also I watched the Force Awakens. There's another podcast I listened to called the Star Wars Minute. They started, I think this past November, they started covering the Force Awakens minute by minute. And I just started listening to what they're discussing about the Force Awakens. And so I thought I'd rewatch to kind of refresh myself, because it's been a lot longer than I thought since I'd watched it. And in rewatching it, this will be a discussion for another time, I suppose, but I like it a lot more than I originally remember.
Yeah, when we were talking about what our discussion topic should be for the episode, our definitive Star Wars rankings was brought up, and in talking about that a little bit, we realized that there is it's going to need a longer episode for that.
We've got way too much tension. News.
It got contentious.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of what I've been up to. Derek, what have you been up
to? Well, first I played some games. My wife and I, and then we taught my mother-in-law. We played King Domino first, and then we moved on to Sagrada. Sagrada was definitely more of a hit than King Domino was. And then finally, we played Patchwork Express with two players. So Sid was helping her mom play that one a little bit and learn it. And I think she really enjoyed it. And I had my best game of Patchwork ever. I filled my whole board, which is kind of tough to do. So those are all really good games. I think I've talked about all of them in past episodes, so I won't go into them too much. Next, I've been plugging away, reading some comics. I finished my Guardians of the Galaxy run. It was pretty good. I decided to go back and read the original Infinity Gauntlet run from 1991, which is really good. I highly recommend it. I mean, the animation, it has that 90s style, you know, and it doesn't really hold up to today's animation, or not animation, illustration. But yeah, it's just a really good story, and Thanos and it's separate from how they're doing Infinity War and everything like that. But yeah, it's really good. I finished that, and now I just saw that they have put up the Infinity Wars run, which again is different than Infinity War or Infinity Gauntlet. It all gets confusing. Yeah, go ahead.
Question from the uneducated.
Yes.
Are they running the Infinity War similar to any comic book run in the movies?
They take bits and pieces.
Okay.
And the interesting thing is there's a character named Adam Warlock who is like the main part of the whole Infinity Gauntlet story. Like, he is the key. So okay. I don't really know how they're going to do that in the MCU. I don't know if Captain Marvel is going to take that place.
Yeah.
Or how exactly they're going to do it. It could be Gamora too. Spoiler alert, there's no way she's dead.
Yeah.
But, I really don't know how they're going to do it. I really think it's either going to be Captain Marvel or Gamora that takes that place, or they're going to combine the two to kind of fill it in.
That would make sense.
Yeah. But yeah, they're definitely taking inspiration from the comics, but they're doing their own story, which I appreciate.
Cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Infinity Wars is a whole nother thing. I don't really want to spoil it, but it's a pretty cool story. And like Earth's heroes have all of the Infinity Stones, but it's not like people you would expect. Like Drax has one, Black Widow has one. So they all have them, and they're worried that Thanos is going to come back. But a new villain shows up named Requiem, and they unmask her at the end of the first episode or the first issue, and it my jaw dropped. I did like the stupid like surprised Pikachu meme thing when I read it. It was pretty neat. But yeah, so those are the comics I've been reading. I got a couple games of Keyforge in with a coworker. I went 1-1. He had a Mars deck, and I didn't even know Mars was in the deck until he picked up all of his archive cards and played 10 cards in one hand.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was gross. He had Logos and Mars, and he just wiped the board and everything. But then my untamed portion of my deck came through in the second game and was able to pull out a win. But I also got some handmade keys from a really good friend of ours, JJ. They're really neat. They're fairly thin, but he like handmade and chiseled them, and I don't know all the woodworking terms. Ryan, you probably know more, but they're and he's got them in three different colors. There's a darker color, there's a lighter color, and then there's a red one. And so they're neat, and they're going to be perfect going forward.
Yeah, they look really cool.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. I'll put a picture up in the Discord server if anybody wants to see them. And then finally, I got back on the Kickstarter train. And yeah, I know. My wife and I, we backed, it's called Parks. It's by Keymaster Games. So in this game, first of all, the art. That's all I can, like, that's what drew me to this game is the art. So you have like 58 different cards in this game, and they're all based on a different national park, and they all have art based on real places in those national parks, and it's incredible. The point of the game is you are hikers going on different hikes around all the different parks, and you're trying to collect memories and photos of your different hikes and have the best, like the best trail hike. And so you're competing like against like there's different weather conditions, and there's other hikers who are like trying to like impede on your happiness, and you're trying to make make the best like vacation out of it. It's really
That's
cool.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. It sounds really fun. Sid was totally on board, and I think the best part is a portion of every sale is being donated back to the National Park Service, which is
that's
really
cool.
Neat. Yeah, it's really cool. Neat. So that has fully funded. I think there might be like a week left on it. So definitely head over to Kickstarter and check that one out. That's Parks by Keymaster Games. So yeah, that's what I've been up to. Evan, why don't you tell us what you've been up to?
All right. Well, first of all, we've been utilizing that Tabletopia subscription a little bit more. So Derek and I played three different games since the last time we talked. So the first one we tried was Chai. And Chai is a game that we might have mentioned it before. I can't remember for sure, but it was a game that was on Kickstarter.
And I should have backed it.
Yeah, Derek is having some regret, especially after playing it, I think. So Chai is a game about making tea. And your goal is to collect all the ingredients. Like you can go to the market and collect ingredients, and you're trying to fulfill these order cards that you collect throughout the game. And they'll have the different ingredients and like additives that you need to make them and fulfill the order. So it's like an action selection. You select if you want to go to the market and gather the resources, or if you want to like get more customers or whatever. And there's some like set matching and stuff in there too, where you're trying to get all the sets of ingredients together, and you're trying to make tea and gather victory points that way. So I don't know. I had a lot of fun playing this one. What did you think of it, Derek?
I really liked it. I think the best part of this game was the ingredient mechanic. So you have like three rows of ingredients, and they go from one coin all the way up to two coins. So sorry, there are like six columns of three rows. So there's like 18 tiles out there, and they shift down from left to right. So any ingredients that are touching each other of the same, so like let's say you were buying strawberry for your tea, and if there are two strawberries touching each other, you pay the price for one strawberry and you get to take all the strawberries touching it. And then everything shifts over. So it's kind of a little puzzle game in the middle of this, you know, set collection game. And I really, really like that, because you get so much money to go to the market, and you could kind of buy one ingredient that you didn't need to shift the ingredients that you needed together so that you could buy all of them at once for a reduced rate. Yeah, it was a really cool mechanic. I like it a lot. This might be a game that I pick up once it comes to retail. So it was pretty good.
Yeah, and it's not anything that's too heavy. And I think, I can't remember exactly what it'd take us, maybe an hour to play, but that was with learning. Is that right, Derek?
Yeah. So yeah, I think it was like 45 minutes, honestly. Yeah, it was good.
So yeah, I mean, once you learn how to play, I think you're looking at maybe half an hour games, depending on the amount of people, of course, but it seemed to flow pretty quickly. So that was a good one. Again, that was Chai. So then we also played Dice Throne and Wingspan on Tabletopia. And I think we've talked about both of those. Just as a quick reminder, Dice Throne is the 1v1, or I guess you can play 2v2, but it's like a competitive game where it's using basically Yahtzee mechanics. You have dice with certain faces on them, and you're rolling those and trying to create matches to activate your character's abilities, which are then going to do like damage or status effects to your opponent, and you're trying to take out all their health. So that was fun. I think I ended up winning on the very last turn, which was pretty fun.
Yeah, you did.
Kind of got a little lucky.
I'm excited. I hope they put up the season 2 characters on Tabletopia soon, because that'll be 6 new characters that we can try out too. So
Yeah, that's a good one. Soon. I can't remember for sure, but I want to say that one's not even premium on Tabletopia. So
it's free.
Yeah, you can just download Tabletopia for free and play that one. So check it out if you haven't. It's pretty fun, especially if you like those type of dice rolling Yahtzee mechanic type games. And then finally, again, we played Wingspan. We've talked about Wingspan quite a bit. I just got to say again that every time I play it, I like it a little bit more. This last game, both Derek and I were like, I just don't feel like our engine's really going anywhere. And it was one of those that was a little bit frustrating. But then by the end, I think we both felt pretty good about where we were at. It just seems like the balance is there. Like all three games that we've played have been close. And I don't know. It's really fun. I'm excited for the actual release. I actually might be tempted to pick this one up.
I'll definitely be grabbing this one when it comes out next month.
Yeah. So those are the games that we played. We're still loving the subscription. So if you're a board game fan, check that one out. Check out Tabletopia, that is. So then in terms of physical board games played, I got a couple of those in as well. My sister and her husband came and visited a couple weeks ago. So while they were here, we played a couple games. Neither one of them are huge board gamers, but we brought out King Domino, which was really fun. We actually went to, there's a like, I guess you'd call it a bar pretty close to our house, but it's really laid back. It's called the Casual Pint, and they just have, it's like a bar/beer shop. They have a ton of beer, and they have a bunch of beer on tap, and it's a really laid back atmosphere. They even actually have some games set up for you to take to your table. So we went and grabbed a drink and played King Domino, and that was a ton of fun. And I think they liked that one. Again, King Domino is just such a good game for people that aren't like super hardcore into the hobby, because it's easy to pick up and just kind of a fun one you can play and have a beer or have a conversation or whatever. So we enjoyed that, and then we played Harry Potter Hogwarts Battle, and I think that was a good one because my sister is really into Harry Potter, and so when I told her, like, oh, this is a Harry Potter game, and you work together to try to beat the bad guys, she's like, oh, yeah, let's try that one, and we had a lot of fun with that one, too. We almost lost, but we pulled it out in the end, so it made it exciting. Then I have also been continuing to read The Two Towers, and I'm enjoying that. I'm almost done with the the first book, I guess, out of the two in the Two Towers. So almost getting to the point where it shifts focus to Frodo and Sam. And I'm still just loving that, but I've been going kind of slow. And the reason I've been going kind of slow is a lot of my free time lately has been devoted to playing video games. And for some reason right now, I'm just in this mood where I'm bouncing from game to game, but I don't know, it works. So I've been playing a lot of Grand Theft Auto 5. I've been trying to go back through and beat that. I've been playing quite a bit of Smash. And then I also have played a new game that just came out called Apex Legends. And I'm going to talk about that later, but it's a super fun game. And then finally for me, the last thing, I just did this a couple days ago. My wife got me Forgotten Sky as an early Valentine's Day present. So Forgotten Sky is a game by Matt Leacock, and it's in the same kind of series as Forgotten Desert and Forgotten Island, which are like co-op games. And he's the same guy that also did Pandemic, I believe. So
just one sec. I think it's Forbidden Sky. Forbidden Sky.
Did I say Forgotten? No, Forbidden. Yeah, yes. Yep. Don't even know the name of my own board game. So Forbidden Sky, and it's Forbidden Desert and Forbidden Island, if I said Forgotten before. So anyway, we played that a couple times, and it's fun. It's pretty hard. The first time, actually, we played three times, and the first two times we lost, and the third time we lowered the difficulty and still almost lost. But the whole point of it, I guess, is that you're like these adventurers, or you're on this airship, and you're trying to, it's like broken down, and you're trying to explore this platform. You're on this platform thousands of feet above the ground, and you're exploring this platform and trying to collect or create a circuit so that you can power your ship and take off. And the cool thing about it is that the components are actually metal components, and you're actually creating a physical circuit so that when you complete the circuit, it triggers this like little thing in the, there's an actual little ship component. And once you complete the circuit, it starts to light up and make a bunch of noise, and then does like a fake blast off thing. So it's pretty cool. It's kind of a fun little rewarding thing when you win. So yeah, that's a fun one. If you're into that style of game, definitely check that one out. So that's what I have been up to. I think we're ready to dive into the news then. And I know we've got a lot of that. So Derek, you want to lead us off in the news?
Yeah, so a few days ago, it looked like this was going to be a really light news cycle, and then everything kind of blew up. So we're going to start it off by talking about Apex Legends, which was kind of a surprise release. Evan, you have been all about this game, so I'm going to let you tell everybody about it.
Okay. Yeah, so Apex Legends, I just mentioned a couple minutes ago, but it was a kind of a surprise release. I think maybe some of the word had leaked, but I hadn't really heard of it until the actual day it came out. So it came out February 4th, and it is a Battle Royale game made by Respawn, who is the same developers that made the Titanfall series. So I know what some of you are probably thinking. It's the same thing I thought. Oh, great, another Battle Royale game that's going to try to compete with Fortnite and then fail. But I don't know. The day it came out, the Respawn and / EA, because EA is like the publisher for it, they sponsored a bunch of streamers to play this game. And I think the strategy here was actually kind of genius, because they didn't have really any marketing beforehand. And if you're familiar with EA, you know that they've been in kind of a tough spot right now, and people are kind of mad at them. So whenever a game has EA on it, I think a lot of people are avoiding it. So they kind of did a surprise, like, hey, here's our game. Oh, by the way, it's by EA. And here's a bunch of people playing it, and this is what it looks like. And they released it and had a bunch of streamers join it, and it looked gorgeous, and it looked like it was running very smoothly, which is kind of a rare thing nowadays for a game to release with so few bugs. And I don't know. I was really intrigued by it, so I downloaded it. And that's the other thing. It's free to play. So I got home and I downloaded it, and I gave it a try, and I really like it. So it's kind of a standard Battle Royale game where you're dropping in on an island. But there's a few differences. There's no solo play. It's only squads, and it's squads of three. And some of the things that are a little different compared to other Battle Royale games are that when your character dies, like doesn't not just get knocked down, like because like say Fortnite or PUBG or any of those other ones, when you get knocked down, somebody can come revive you. But then if you like get killed, you're out. In this game, if you get killed, your teammates can come and grab your banner, they call it, and take it to a respawn station, which are scattered throughout the map, and you can actually come back. So that's really cool. And then they also have a really innovative ping system. So I can like ping certain locations and make my character say, let's go here, or we should check out loot here, watch for enemies here. And it's really quick and intuitive to use, so it helps when you're playing with random people and you don't have like voice chat. So all in all, I've been playing this one quite a bit since it came out. Again, it's free to play. They do have microtransactions, but it's kind of in the same vein as Overwatch, where it's just for cosmetic skins and things like that. So if you're interested at all in shooters, I would definitely check this one out. So next up, we had a couple trailers come out. Derek, do you want to talk about some of those new trailers?
Yeah, so during the Super Bowl, we got new Captain Marvel and Avengers Endgame trailers. Now, you guys got to see these, I think, right? I mean, Captain Marvel, it looked like more of the same, you know? I really think that this is going to be a really good movie. We're less than a month away from Captain Marvel releasing now.
Is it really that soon?
Yeah, March 8th, I believe. And so, yeah, we're very close on Captain Marvel. And then the Avengers Endgame trailer, man, this movie. The trailer didn't show a whole lot. It just kind of showed the heroes that are left kind of grieving and kind of working together to pick up the pieces and figure out what they're going to do. And this movie's going to be good, you guys. Mm-hmm. It just has that dark tone, and I think it's going to be... it's going to be rough and emotional. But yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. Did you guys, what'd you guys think about those two?
I already knew I was excited for Captain Marvel, so that one didn't really move the dial for me. But Endgame, I mean, I know it was just kind of a teasery trailer for the Super Bowl, but it just got me really pumped. It's going to be a roller coaster of emotions watching that, but I'm ready. I'm prepping myself now emotionally.
Yeah, I had kind of forgotten that Rocket wasn't gone. I was thinking that Rocket was gone, so when he was in the trailer, I got really excited. I love Rocket, and yeah, I think it'll maybe he can bring a little levity to the situation. Yeah, maybe. I guess in the last couple of weeks, Ryan, you've your wife has made a little bit of a discovery that it has her concerned about Spider-Man.
Yeah, she's very concerned about Jake Gyllenhaal as Mysterio. And the concern is the bangs that he has. She is very concerned with, one, if he can pull off bangs successfully. Two, if he, as Mysterio, a supervillain, understands the maintenance that's required to maintain perfect bangs. In case anyone at home doesn't know, my wife has bangs. That's the hairstyle she wears. If you know Zooey Deschanel as Jessica Day from New Girl, that's essentially the identical hairstyle. So there is some maintenance involved in keeping bangs. And so she's concerned, one, if you can do it, two, what that's going to look like in a superhero. I mean, these are the hard-hitting questions that we're bringing you all.
And,
so.
And you can hear all about it on our new spinoff podcast, the Plus Three Podcast of Fashion.
That's true calling.
Yes, I think it's all of our calling.
All right, well, we're going to move on now from the bangs. Next up, we are going to get a new deluxe edition of Castles of Burgundy. It's going to include the base game and all 10 expansions, plus a new expansion for the game. I've only seen the cover art for this. I haven't really seen any of the components or anything, but it looks like it's going to be available at Gen Con. And just judging by the cover, it looks sick. Like, this is going to be pretty cool. Evan, you love Castles of Burgundy. Are you going to pick this one up? I know you hadn't pulled the trigger yet on the regular edition, but now that there's a deluxe edition, you're going to have to, right?
Maybe, especially if I end up going to Gen Con, which I think I might, but we'll talk about that some other time. I don't know. I am definitely intrigued by this. I know that the biggest place that Castle of Burgundy gets kind of knocked for, I guess, would be the art. and the setup of the board and things like that, which I guess I didn't really care the time that we played it. But I can see where people are coming from, especially with a bunch of other games that have come out since then that have just been gorgeous and, you know, really intelligently laid out and things like that. I think that probably is a place of improvement for this game. So I don't know. It's like you said, we haven't seen the components yet. So I don't know if they're going to change anything, but I kind of hope that they do. And if they do, it's going to make me more likely to get it, although I still might anyway.
Yeah, I will say the fact that they're touting it as a deluxe edition, so I feel like we're going to get upgraded components, upgraded art, like a whole new... It's going to be the same game, but with a whole new facelift, basically.
Yeah, I kind of wonder what the price is going to be, because 11 expansions, I guess. That's crazy. That's a lot of content in there.
My guess is it's going to be $60 to $80 probably.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's not too bad, though, for how much stuff you're getting, but that would probably put it in line with, like... isn't there Alhambra Big Box comes with a bunch of expansions. That's about what that runs for.
80.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, we got some Stonemaier news. They announced an expansion for Euphoria. It's going to be called Euphoria Ignorance is Bliss, which I love that name because, in the game you're trying to keep your workers, ignorant, basically. You're trying to keep them stupid so they don't rebel against you. And bliss is actually one of the resources that's used in the game. So ignorance is bliss is kind of the perfect name for that one. The expansion is going to include more recruit cards, more market tiles, and it's also going to have solo play. So Stonemaier Games are really known for their Automa system that they're including with most of their games now that allow you to solo play. This one will also have the option you can use the Automa in a two-player game, so it'll make it feel like a four-player game, which is pretty good because that's one of the complaints I've heard about Euphoria is it doesn't play very well at two players, which I could see. Pre-orders for this will start at the end of February, and the retail release will follow shortly after that. Evan, I know you love Euphoria. Ryan, I think you liked it as well, didn't you? Are you guys have any interest in this?
I do have some interest. I like the title. And I think that with the theme of Euphoria, I think my disconnect, I just had an epiphany. I think it was that I struggled picturing in my mind my workers as the die. Like if I would have had something other than the die, like an actual meeple worker placing instead of a die.
Right, right.
I think there was a disconnect for me.
Okay. But yeah, Evan, what do you think?
I love this game. It's one of my top games probably. So I'm excited for it. I hope that it comes to Tabletopia, and I bet it will, because I think all or most of Stonemaier games are on Tabletopia. I know Euphoria is. So I would definitely want to check this out if and when it comes to Tabletopia.
Yeah, absolutely. In kind of the little story mode or the story flair, it sounds like the Icarites, who are the ones that live in the giant like zeppelins in the sky, they have come down and kind of taken control of all the. They're kind of the leaders now of Euphoria. So I don't know. It could be cool. We'll have to see what new mechanisms they've got in store for us. But I trust anything coming from Stonemaier Games. A new expansion for Villainous is coming. So I don't know if we've talked about Villainous at all, but it's a board game that's out where you are playing as the different Disney villains. You're moving around, carrying out your evil deeds, trying to be, you know, the best or I guess worst villain that you can be. But there's a new expansion that's been announced for it, and it's been announced accidentally. There was a store that put out copies of the expansion on their shelves that weren't supposed to put them out yet. And a picture made it up onto BoardGameGeek. And now everybody knows about it. The new expansion appears to include new villains in the form of Hades from Hercules, the Shadow Man from The Princess and the Frog, and the Evil Queen from Snow White. So I've never played Villainous, but it's getting a ton of buzz. It's in Target everywhere. It's mass market. And it sounds like it's a pretty good game and they're going to add more villains to it. I just thought it was kind of funny that a store accidentally put it out and that's the official announcement now that we're getting that expansion.
That's funny.
Next up, Eggert Spiel has announced Era Medieval Age. So this is a new game from designer Matt Leacock, who also designed Pandemic and the Forbidden games that Evan talked about earlier. Era is touted as a roll and build game where players are going to use 3D pieces such as churches, mills, and castle walls to build a medieval city on their personal boards. Apparently, this will be the first in a series of roll and build games from Matt Leacock, and it's going to roll out at Gen Con this year. I got really excited when I read about this, as you guys know. What are your thoughts on it?
I don't know that much about it. I mean, you bringing it up is the first I'd heard this. I'm kind of, you know, if you're on board, I'm going to be on board. The theme sounds a lot of fun, but that's about all I've got.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see. We talked about this a little bit in our as we were talking leading up to the podcast and what we wanted to talk about and things like that. Somehow we got on the subject of fad mechanics, and you know, for a while, like deck builders were the craze and legacy games and yada yada. We could probably do a whole discussion on that, but anyway, right now it seems like roll and write is the new hotness. So it's kind of interesting to see. I always think it's fun when people take a mechanic and push the boundaries of it. So roll and build, that I'm kind of intrigued by that. And I kind of feel the same way about Matt Leacock as I do, as Derek does about Stonemaier Games, where I'll check out about anything he does. I think he does a pretty good job. So I'm excited for this one.
Yeah, I think the idea of building your own like little 3D city on your own board is just, it sounds really cool. Like a little medieval city. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just think it sounds pretty neat. All right. Well, moving on. Game Right has announced a new dice version of Sushi Go called Sushi Roll, which is the most ponderful name ever. I love it.
It's good.
Not a ton is known yet about this game. It literally just like a picture of the game box showed up on Board Game Geek, and nobody knows anything about it yet. It's from the game box. You can find out that the game's going to have dice drafting instead of the normal card drafting that goes with Sushi Go. And it's going to release sometime in 2019. But that's all we know about it. But, I mean, we all love Sushi Go. It's a great introductory game. And I think dice working with that mechanic, I think it's going to be good. Probably along the same lines, but maybe a couple new mechanics in there too. And yeah, I think, and of course the dice are going to be cute. They're going to have all the cute little sushi rolls on them. And I think it'll be good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we also got an announcement recently that Icewind Dale, Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, and Neverwinter Nights are going to come to consoles later this year. So we are going to get we're going to get them on consoles, including the Switch, which I'm very excited about. I played all these games when they originally came out, and for their time, they, you know, the storyline, the gameplay, it was all incredible. And it'll be interesting. I don't know if they're going to do a straight port to the consoles, or if they're going to. I would think they would have to give some quality of life updates. Just because of the nature of the games, they're really made for a PC, for a point-and-click situation. But, yeah, I mean, there's another like, the next generation of gamers has no idea what these games are. And if we can spread the word on these games, that would be, it would be great. Because these are great D&D-based, you know, strategy games. And they're a lot of fun. I don't know. Evan, are you going to pick any of these up when they come out to Switch?
I'll have to check them out. See, I didn't play these as much. I played a little Neverwinter Nights and a tiny bit of Baldur's Gate, but I didn't play them as much as you did. So for me, it would be kind of experiencing them the first time, which is fine because it's like you said, the stories are very good. So it's that would be fun for me to be able to do that. I will say I did read somewhere that the versions that are releasing are like, at least for some of these games, they did do some sort of remastered version. Like I think Neverwinter Nights, at least a few years ago, they released a remastered version on PC. So that's what's going to be releasing for for the consoles as well. What enhancements they made, I don't know for sure. And then whether or not they'll take those enhancements and still change them further for consoles. I don't know that either. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard for me to sit down and play these like 40 plus hour mm-hmm. single player games anymore. But, you know, I would like to have something like that for my Switch just to play while traveling or whatever. I mean, I've been playing Zelda. I've been playing it for like a year and I haven't beat it yet, but I'm getting closer. And it's that same type of thing where I can just play it as I get time.
Yep, absolutely. No, I think it'll be cool. I'd like to see, I mean, it's very important to be able to switch characters on the fly, which, like I said, translates well on PC, but it'll be interesting to see what the controls are like. Hopefully I can try a demo of it or see some gameplay first before I pull the trigger. But yeah, it's definitely on my radar. Evan, I'm going to let you drop some sweet X-Wing news.
All right. Well, just a couple of days ago, Wave 4 of X-Wing 2nd Edition was announced. So it seems like with 2nd Edition, they're going to be pretty aggressive with their release schedule. Wave 3 isn't even out yet. In fact, Wave 2 just released not that long ago, and they've already announced Wave 4. So the cool thing about Wave 4 is that every faction has a ship, and there are 7 factions in the game now. I think one of them is getting... Yeah, the Republic is getting 2 ships. So a lot of these are re-releases from 1st Edition with the upgraded components and everything. But the cool thing about that is that some of the ships, even though they're like re-releases, are getting new molds. And the biggest one for this wave is the B-Wing. And the B-Wing looks amazing in this. It's got foldable wings, which was a cool new feature for X-Wings when 2nd Edition first came out. And then I don't exactly know how it works, but the article mentions something about how the cockpit can rotate. So if you've ever seen Rebels, you know, when they introduce the B-Wing, how the whole thing kind of rotates around the cockpit, and it's really, really cool, a cool ship in the show. So I'm excited to have a ship that does that, the little model that does that. I already own 3 B-Wings. I might have to pick up another one. We'll see.
that's awesome. Yeah, if it looks really like cool. That's pretty cool.
Yep. Then the other thing about this wave is they are for the Republic and the Separatists releasing new ships. So, you know, obviously those are new factions. So everything they release for those is going to be new. And the Republic one that's coming out is the Naboo fighter, which is one of my favorite ships in all of Star Wars. So, you know, I don't get to play this game as much as I want to, but I still feel like I have to buy some of these just as collector's items. And then when I get to a chance to play, of course I can play with them. But some of these models are really cool, and I'm really looking forward to this wave. And it's nice to see that FFG is kind of spreading the love. Like, some of the waves in 1st Edition were imbalanced, and one faction would have all the ships, and then the next one, I don't know, it just was kind of weird. So now it looks like they're kind of focused on getting ships to each faction every wave, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the models are so cool. I don't play X-Wing anymore, but I've got a lot of ships, and I love the models so much. I need to get them out on my shelf, just set up to show off. They're really cool, and I've seen your 2nd Edition stuff, and it looks like they've really upped their game with these ships. So it's pretty neat. All right, well, finally, we've got a new game coming from Fantasy Flight. They're releasing a new Star Wars game called Star Wars Outer Rim. Not a ton has been released about the mechanics, but they put up a whole page on their website about the game. And so you're going to be taking on the role of famous bounty hunters and outlaws like Han Solo, Boba Fett, and Jyn Erso. You're going to be getting crew members, taking a ship, flying around, collecting bounties, smuggling goods, avoiding pirates. It looks pretty fun. And Ryan, you'll be excited to know that Hondo is in the game.
Yes. So,
yeah, exactly. You can pick up Hondo as a crew member.
Best character in all of Star Wars animated.
Yeah. One of the coolest things I read was, like, if you pick up a crew member, some of your crew members can get bounties on them, and so other players are trying to hunt you down to get your crew members and turn them in for the bounties too.
Cool.
So, yeah,
that's cool.
It just sounds cool. You're gonna be flying around the Outer Rim, trying to get the most infamy, or I don't remember. Maybe it was just fame, but yeah, it sounds pretty cool. It's gonna be released pretty soon here, Q2 of 2019. We don't really know an exact release date or a price point on this one yet, But it looks pretty neat. Fantasy Flight keeps putting out good Star Wars games, man.
Yes.
Say what you will about Fantasy Flight, but they make a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be putting that on my birthday list to Brianna.
Ooh, there we go. There we go. All right. Maybe that's a game that I don't have to buy. Somebody else can buy, perfect. And then I can enjoy.
Well, I mean, let's not ruin a good thing.
All right. Well, that will wrap it up for our news segment. So I'm going to throw it over to Evan now for our discussion topic.
All right. So as I mentioned in the beginning, we have chosen a topic from the giveaway suggestions. So thank you again for submitting those. So what we're going to be talking about is games that we didn't think we would like, but we ended up actually liking quite a bit. So we're kind of focusing on games we didn't like because we didn't think we'd like the theme, or we didn't like a mechanic of that game, or maybe just the genre in general. So at first we were going to do just board games or tabletop games, but we decided a video game snuck in there as well, so we'll get to that. But when we were talking about this one, it's kind of funny because both Ryan and Derek were like, I have to think about this one. Like, I can't really think of any good examples. And I just right away thought of, oh, I've got three or four that I could do easily. So I don't know. I don't know what that says about me.
You're
about
a grumpy
you guys.
Old man.
Maybe. That's well, or I just know what I like.
Like a grumpy old man does.
That's fair. Okay. So because of that, I have more than these guys. And so I'll go first. I'm going to start. I've talked about this one before, but I'm going to bring it up again. The first one that came to mind for me was Clank. And I know I've mentioned this before, but I'll dive in just a little bit more since I wanted to talk specifically about the reason this is on my list is because of the mechanic of deck building, or I guess even the genre, you could say. And I like the theme. I think the theme's cool. It's like a fantasy theme, and that's fine. Fantasy stuff is cool with me. But I just like when I heard about this, I was like, I don't know. It's a deck builder. It's getting a lot of hype, but when I first heard about this, it was shortly after I gave Dominion to Derek for like a beer or something like that. I just didn't really.
It was a tiki drink.
That's what it was. Yeah. So I was like, I don't want this anymore. You can have it, and yeah, just buy my next drink or whatever. So that was where I was at with deck builders, but. I was at a meetup and some guys brought this out, like the group, the table that I was sitting at, and they brought this one out. And, you know, I didn't really want to walk away from the table, and I had heard good things. So I was like, yeah, sure, I'll try it. And I got to say, this one just really changed my mind almost right away, because along with the cards and like the building of the deck, you have a board, and so the point of the game is you're like adventurers exploring this cave or dungeon or whatever, and there's a dragon in there. And it's called Clank because throughout the game, you're going to be making noise or clank, like clanking around. And that's going to wake the dragon and make him mad, and he'll attack you or whatever. So the way that you explore, I thought this was the coolest part, and this is why I really liked it. The way you explore is you're gathering these cards, and your cards are either going to have like some of them are going to give you movement, and some of them are going to give you attack points. So you're going to use your movement cards to move spots throughout and go deeper into the dungeon and try to collect treasure. And sometimes you'll encounter creatures or other enemies that you have to fight. So you're going to use your fighting power to do that. And then that's like you can slay monsters to get more cards, or you can buy more cards or whatever, which is the deck building part of it. But you're trying to build this deck that's going to be able to move you around efficiently and grab the treasure. And then there's also kind of a push your luck element to it, where you're trying to get you have to decide if you want to, like once you get a treasure, if you want to escape the dungeon and in first and kind of trigger the end game, or if you want to try to grab a few more pieces of treasure and then get to the top. So it's kind of this marriage between the deck building and the board game, moving around, collecting treasure, and the push your luck that I really loved. And I really want to play this one again. I don't think either of you guys have had a chance to play this one yet. Have you?
No, I have not.
Okay, so I'll have to check it out if we ever get a chance. But again, for me, this is Clank, a deck builder that I didn't think I'd like, but I ended up loving. So that was one of mine. Ryan, you want to give us one of yours?
Yeah, one of mine is a game called Sagrada. I don't know if we've mentioned it on the pod yet or not. But it's a game of Derek's that he was very excited on. Did you back this on Kickstarter, Derek?
This was my first Kickstarter game.
Okay, and he sold it to me as you build stained glass windows. And to be honest, nothing sounded less exciting to me than building stained glass windows. However, having played the game, and it was more the theme that I wasn't sold on necessarily than the gameplay itself or the mechanics. But having played it, you roll a bunch of dice. It's like Sudoku, but with colors as well. So then you collect, you have, there's a set collection element. There's a pattern building with the colors and the numbers. And it was a lot of fun. And actually, I had forgotten that Derek even has this game. And I think the next time we meet to play board games, I'm going to request that this gets brought along.
I can make that happen. And also, I just like to say that everything comes full circle because you were not excited about a stained glass window game, but for this year for Christmas, I literally bought you a game that's about...
That was going to be the very windows, next thing I said.
Which is
I was staring at it on my game shelf right now.
Azul Stained Glass of Syntra. So
yeah, I'm very excited for that.
You're all about stained glass windows.
I am. I'm all about it. I'm a stained glass window aficionado.
Nice. See,
I think Wingspan is going to be one of these games for me. I should have learned from Sagrada that not to let a theme ruin a game for me. I feel like Wingspan is going to be a game I really enjoy.
Yes.
That's a good one. I got to say that I agree with you on Sagrada. I wasn't necessarily sold either. And Derek kind of sprung it on me, if I remember right. Like, we were just hanging out and like, I don't remember. We had a couple games to choose from. And then Derek was like, oh, let's do this one. And I said, oh, okay, fine. And I like it too. That one's nice because it plays pretty well with two, if I remember right. So
it does.
One of the times I played it, we had had a big board game weekend with all the guys, and then everybody had to go but me. I was catching a flight out the next day, and Derek had the day off. So Derek and I just stayed in and played a bunch of two-player games throughout the day, and that was a great one to fit that. It plays great with two. It was pretty quick. Yeah, it's definitely fun. So if stained glass doesn't sound like your thing, it's still the mechanics, I think, make up for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Derek, what is a game that you have on your list?
All right. Well, I hate Hidden Trader games. I'm just going to absolutely hate them. Games like Dead of Winter, The Resistance, Secret Hitler, Werewolf, all those. I hate them. Absolutely hate them. I'm not a good liar. I cannot lie, and anytime I am the traitor or the liar, I ruin the game completely because everybody knows I'm lying. So when my friends wanted to play Shadows Over Camelot, I was not very excited. They were insistent that we played Shadows Over Camelot, so I said, okay, let's do it. I think the saving grace of this game is that in Shadows Over Camelot, there's not always a traitor. It's about, I think it's like 60% of the time there's a traitor. And it happened to be that the time we played, we did not have a traitor. So in Shadows Over Camelot, you're playing as the Knights of the Round Table, and you are trying to go out and do different heroic deeds or quests and trying to collect enough good swords that before there's too many like evil... to complete good things before evil things happen, essentially. I really enjoyed all the different quests that the knights could go on. You're going out, you're trying to find Excalibur, you're trying to find the Holy Grail. Like, it was really cool and thematic. And we were all working together, and the game was really challenging. And I think if there had been a traitor, like, so in the game, you have a secret hand, and you're trading your cards to other players to try to complete goals. You have to have sets or low cards to complete the goals. And I think if somebody had been actively working against us, I just don't think it would have been as fun. And then you have a big reveal where the traitor comes out, and then they are just like openly playing against you. And I don't think I would have enjoyed it had there been a traitor, but because there wasn't, I had a great time. So that is Shadows Over Camelot, which I surprisingly liked. Evan, so, what is your next? Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, so you liked it because it your that particular time you played didn't have the mechanic you didn't like.
Exactly. I enjoyed Shadows Over Camelot as a game without a traitor. I guess the thing is you could set the game up so you didn't have a traitor.
Okay.
You draw your identities at the beginning of the game, and I think you can set it up so that there's no traitor, and that's how I would do it. But that's some people like the traitor games, and that's fine. You can go play them by yourselves.
Derek will not be there.
All right, Evan, what's your next game?
All right. Well, next on my list is it's one that Derek was very excited for, and that is Rising Sun. So Derek, when he was first pitching Rising Sun to me, he described it as kind of a successor to Blood Rage, and that was the thing that kind of turned me off because we played Blood Rage one time and I didn't hate it or anything. I even was just talking to Derek recently about how I wanted to play it again, but it didn't really do it for me, I guess. And I think that comes down to,
poor tasting games. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that, and no, I don't know. I think it was the area control aspect of it. I'm not a huge fan of those. Like, some of them I like. I really liked Small World for a while, and that's, you know, obviously a pretty big area control game. But something with Blood Rage, I think also the fact that I got destroyed didn't help in Blood Rage. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That never helps. But anyway, so back to Rising Sun, Derek was saying, you know, it's the same, you know, or there's some elements that are the same with that. There's some area control and you're trying to control these monsters or whatever. And things like that. So I wasn't as excited about that one as some of the other guys were. I was intrigued though, because the theme is pretty cool. It's like in a Japanese setting and things like that. So that was fun, but, we ended up playing, and this is a pretty heavy game. It took us a while to play, but I liked it. I was enjoying the whole time. There's a lot more to it. And I think that's kind of the theme you're going to see here is that, some of these games, you can't necessarily just pick out the mechanics that you think are bad because maybe it'll get balanced by something else that you like. So with Rising Sun, they had there's like a alliance system that was pretty fun as you're trying to kind of wheel and deal your way to getting favorable alliances. I will say for us, we played a 5-person game and that was kind of tough because somebody was always left out. And I think Ryan got left out every time.
It was absolutely, yeah. I'm not going to go into it. It's a discussion. But I came out on the poor end of that deal.
But then there's other fun things in the game too, like variable player powers. I like games that have that kind of thing. So because you can kind of tailor your strategy around that. So my guy had some ability that was favorable in combat. I could use a certain resource in combat that other people couldn't use. So I used that to my advantage, and I really enjoyed being able to do that kind of thing. So overall, I did enjoy the game. In fact, I think it would probably even make me, I want to play that again. And I also kind of want to try Blood Rage again, just because they're in the same vein. And, I don't know, maybe I'd like it more the second time. So that's Rising Sun was my second one. Ryan, what else you got?
Thinking about Rising Sun, I really want to play it again, man.
Yeah, that's fun.
I have not gotten to play that enough. So yeah, we'll have to get that one in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the other game that I had on my list was the one that you introduced for us in the news, was Apex Legends. And that's not necessarily the game itself. It's the Battle Royale theme of games, and maybe it's just the culture around Fortnite, but it's just I was not that excited for it. And the idea of the games is they seem very stressful. They seem very anxious, very sweaty. And it seems like it would be bad for my cardio health. And it was, I played last night for the first time, and it was a lot of fun. I thought it was a really well done game. It was stressful. It was anxious, but we did get a win on our third match.
Yes.
And I think that's probably going to keep me riding high for a while on the game, even if I don't win ever again.
Oh, we'll win again.
We'll win. But it was really fun. It was stressful and anxious. I watch enough sports teams to have enough stress and anxiety in my life. I don't want that avenue for my games, but it was a lot of fun and I really, really liked it.
Yeah. And being a fan, you and I have quite a few teams in common. So I feel your anxiousness in that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, Ryan, exactly what you've said about Battle Royale games are my feelings exactly. Like, it just seems stressful, and I feel like I'm going to have a lot of anxiety about it. Like, I don't do a lot of shooters for that reason, mm-hmm. but, like, the reason I like Overwatch is because if I die, I'm back in 5 seconds. And, I'm going to try Apex Legends, but the fact that, like, you guys won a game like with only killing one guy, like that just sounds like a lot of like hiding and being stressed. And I don't know. I'm going to try it. I'm trying to keep an open mind, but yeah. I'm pretty nervous about
yeah.
it. I don't know. Well, it just sounds so stressful.
I appreciate that. And I don't know. I mean, it might not be for you, but I will say, I think that the way you play can vary every time too. Like we only got one kill because we didn't really have to. We could kind of just take our time and hide. But the game that I won earlier in the week, I played with another friend of ours, Peter, and then a random guy, and we had a lot more kills than that. And we were like running around. It felt more like a traditional shooter. It wasn't like just hide and seek. We were running around trying to find people and shooting them, I guess. So I don't know. It's a good game. I'd like to keep playing it for a while. We'll see what the longevity is like. Battle Royales are sometimes a flash in the pan, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, hopefully the community stays around for a little bit, because it'd be fun to play a Battle Royale that's not Fortnite.
Yeah.
Derek, I know that you've got another game for us. What do you got?
Yeah, so Ryan, this is one that you own, and you found out that I was not excited about it about 5 minutes before we started recording.
The truth shall set you free.
Yeah, so this one is Above and Below. This game, I did not know very much about it, and Ryan had bought it, I thought on a whim, but maybe he had researched it a little bit and really
Bit of both.
Okay, all right. And he had really, really wanted to play it. And I thought it was just a story-driven board game, and that's it. And I did not know enough about it, and I was not very excited to play it. And I said, okay, yeah, we'll play this. And I figured I'll suffer through it because I want Ryan to be happy. And I had no idea. It's got great art. It's got a little bit of story element, but mostly it is a little town-building set collection game. And I loved it, and I would play it anytime, anywhere. I loved Above and Below, and I still haven't gotten to play Near and Far, which is kind of the sequel to this. And
yes,
I really like to play that one as well whenever you get it. So
I want to get that. And then I'm also excited for when Ancient World comes.
Ryan Lockett just pumping out games. So I really did enjoy Above and Below. It kind of blended the story-based stuff with more, you know, action selection, worker placement, set collection.
So that reminds me, I know there's a Mysterium is a game that Derek has always poo-pooed every time I've talked about wanting to play it. And Bree wants to play it and is very excited about it. So I think I'm going to pick it up, learn how to play it with Bree, and I'm going to convince Derek to play it with me.
Fun fact, Derek has played Mysterium. Derek does not care for Mysterium.
Dang it, Derek.
But if you and Bree get it and you love it, I will play it with you.
Well, here goes that theory.
All right, Evan, do you have any more games? Or?
Yeah, I've got one more.
All right.
And I think that... I think you guys can probably guess this one. In fact, it's come up several times on this podcast, and the fact that I wasn't excited about it and now like it, it's come up on the podcast. So if you haven't guessed yet, the final one of mine is Wingspan. And Wingspan for me was the same as for Ryan. I was not excited about the theme. The mechanics sounded fine. I like action selection. I like engine builders. But I was like, birds. Why would I want to collect birds? But again, it's just so well done. The mechanics are so good. The art is, I mean, you know, even if you don't like birds, you have to appreciate that they are pretty pictures of birds. And it's a great one. So we've talked about this game a lot. I just thought I'd throw it in there because it kind of fit the subject. So that's all I've got to say.
I like
about
birds.
Wingspan.
That's all I have to say.
I don't like birds, but I have yet to play Wingspan, but I think after I play it, I'll join Evan and put this in my category of
and didn't Derek like will it get, initially.
Really, We really need to get you in on a game. I think Evan and I have played it 3 or 4 times now.
3 times.
And, yeah, it's just, I mean, the first time I just wasn't really convinced, and I was kind of taking a wait-and-see approach. And then the other couple times I've been busy. My in-laws were in town and all that fun stuff. So
I'll get it. All right. So that wraps up our discussion. So with that, I think we are about done with everything we had for this episode. I just want to say thank you again for listening. And again, the Discord channel or server that we're starting, we're going to have the link in the description. Please join that if you're interested. And we'd love to hear from you. We're going to have a channel for topic recommendations. So again, we love having the recommendations. It's nice to talk about things that you guys want to hear. So feel free to suggest topics through that. If you want to just chat with us, we're love to hear from you. We have like a find a game channel in there where if you're sitting at home one night and want to play a game, video game, board game, whatever, you can post in there, and hopefully as people join the server, more people will see that and get a game together. We're kind of excited to see where the Discord goes, so hopefully that'll be a kind of a cool way to keep everybody with these similar interests connected. So thanks again for listening, and we hope you all have a good couple of weeks, and we will catch you next time.